Boker Tov.
Boker Tov.
Shalom Lechem.
So we come today to the introduction to lessons 14 through 17. Embark on a major new section of the book. And we're told to review the introduction to lessons 9 through 13, section 6, which is on page 107. Start there, page 107. Which is headed Hebrew verbs, modification of the stem that indicate a different emphasis or meaning. And there are five major forms in which a stem may be found. First one is katal. Katal, he killed, or shalach, he sent, or yalada, she gave birth to, as third feminine singular. And the notes below tell us that that is the kal form. Usually indicates what somebody did or a state they were in. And this is sort of the plain vanilla form. Number two, niktal. Niktal, he was killed, and nishlach. Nishlach, he was sent, and nolad, he was born. That's the nifal, note the prefix nun in the perfective form. Nifal forms often indicate what one does to oneself. That's a middle voice, or what is done to one. That's the passive voice. The third is kitel. Kitel, he slew, or shilach. Shilach, he sent away, or yalada. Yalada, she acted as a midwife. And that's called the PL. Note that the middle letter of the stem is strong, and that the vowel pattern is often hirik. Sire. PL forms often indicate a strong form of action or something done eagerly or urgently or action producing a result. Number four is hiktil. Hiktil, he caused to kill, or holid. Holid, he caused to be born. And this is the hifil. Note the prefix hey in perfective and some other forms. The vowel in the second syllable is often hirek yod. So that's a long hirek. Hifil forms are often causative and sometimes intransitive. So intransitive means it doesn't take an object. And finally, hitkatel. Hitkatel, meaning he killed himself. And then for the verb halak, we have its hit pale form, hit halake, he walked to and fro. And that's called the hit pale. Notice the prefix hit. The vowels with the stem letters are often patah, tsere. Hit pale forms usually indicate an action which concerns the doer rather than anyone else, so they're reflexive. And those are called, those are the five different forms that the stem can be in. And notice that the three root letters are there, and then you add on prefixes and change the vowel pattern to get those. So that was the little introduction we were given a few weeks ago. And now back to page 157. We'll learn more about these today in an overview, and then starting next week in more detail for each of these forms. So point number two, there are five main ways in which the stem of a Hebrew verb may be modified. So remember, the stem is, this is the three letters, or usually three letters. The first form, for example, katal, is called the kal, because nothing is added to the stem. Kal means light, as opposed to heavy. So we can think of this as being the plain vanilla form. And then the other forms are given names from the Hebrew poetic verb pa'al, meaning he did, he made, he formed. And the name we give the stem is really just formed from the form that that verb would have in whatever state it is. So nifal is the nifal form of the verb pa'al. PL is the PL form of that verb, and so on. Now, it's unfortunate that pa'al is the verb that is used. And the reason it's used is back in the 12th century or so, when Hebrew grammarians really started drawing up formal grammars of the language, Arabic was generally their first language. They were operating within the Arabic world. And Arabic grammarians used the Arabic cognate to this verb as their sort of base for using their terms, and so the Hebrew grammarians carried it over. And the unfortunate thing is that the middle letter is an ayin, and there are certain things you can't do with an ayin, like put a dagesh in it. And three of these, two of these stems require putting a dagesh in the middle letter. So we have the nifal, the pl, the hifil, and the hitpael, and there are various ways of spelling those. That's another problem with having an ayin in there, is whether or not you transliterate that at all. So the nifal, for example, sometimes you'll see it spelled N-I-P-H-A-L. Whether it's with or without a capital letter varies. Sometimes you'll see it spelled N-I-F-A-L. You may see it as that little raised C after the P. Nifal, that's a transliteration symbol for an ayin, but often that would just get left out. So there's really no standard way of spelling these terms in English. And to the right there, we note in Hebrew, kal, nifal, pl, hifil, and hitpael are called binyanim, binyanim, which means roots. So English grammarians may call each of them a binyan, although that's really not too often. Typically, we'll refer to the nifal stem, the kal stem, the pl stem, hifil stem, hitpael stem. So that's five of them listed there, and then we're going to find that there are two others are also, so for a total of seven. Now in English, it is possible to say that the active voice, now I should say, because English doesn't work at all this way, this is going to seem initially a little overwhelming to you, and it's a major new aspect of the whole Hebrew to get your hands around. All Semitic languages, though, work this way. There won't be anything in English to help you appreciate how this works. So in English, it is possible to say that the active voice usually has to do with an action someone does. For example, I loved, and that the passive voice has to do with an action done to someone or something. For example, I was loved. And then there's also a third voice, the middle voice, that some languages have, which is reflexive, something you do to yourself. But in English, we tend to just distinguish between active and passive. It'll be interesting to see how long the passive, if everybody grows up a Microsoft Word, which tells you off every time you use a passive, whether the passive will endure. The five forms of the Hebrew verb cannot be so easily classified. We're going to look at them in more detail. And in this introduction, there's a set of examples to give us a general feel for their range. And the verb he's chosen to begin with is tzadak, tzadeh dalet kof, a stem that has to do with rightness, righteousness, or innocence. And here is sort of a sense of how the meaning of that word changes in these stems. So in the kal, just in the plain vanilla, tzadak means he was righteous. In the nifal, remember, and the nifal is basically passive. Nizdak means he was justified, or could mean he was restored, i.e. restored to being in a situation of being righteous. In the pl, tzidek means he justified. So somebody else is doing the action and putting him into a state of being justified, or he declared to be righteous. Hifil is hisdik. He declared to be innocent, or he declared to be righteous. He absolved, he made righteous. So it's usually a causative form. And then finally, the hitpael is hiztadek. Now, what has happened there? The hitpael prefix would normally be hit, hey, hirik, tav. And in this case, things have gotten a little changed around. So that's what we would expect it to be, hit tzadek. Right? So we've got our root, tzadak, We add on the prefix hit and put a dagesh in the middle consonant and a vowel pattern of pata tsere. Hit tzedek. Now, if you try and say that 10 times rapidly, you are going to end up saying hit tzedek. I can fairly guarantee that. Maybe it'll take you 20 times of saying the word very rapidly. And just because of the way of our mouth works, we're just naturally going to end up swapping these two letters. It's just much easier to say his tzedek instead of hit tzedek. And so, in the hit payel stem, when you have a letter here, the first letter of the root is a tzade or an S sound. So tzade is halfway to being an S sound. So an S sound would be a samek or a sheen or a seen. Then the first letter of the root swaps position with his tav. And we have what we call a metathesis. So they interchange. Unfortunately, Dobson doesn't spell out that that's what has happened, but that's what happens. So you would find it in like shamar or something, you'd have hishtamer instead of hitshamer. Which may seem a little baffling, but there's usually the reason these things tend to happen is just for euphony, for things sounding well. Okay, so that's a generally introduction to what those five stems are. We'll learn more about them on the next page and the range of meanings. There are many Hebrew verbs which we find in only some of these forms. For example, so there's no necessity for a verb to be in all five stems. From the stem bo, we find only kal and hifyel forms. So bo doesn't occur in the pl or the nifal or the hitpael. So we find ba, meaning he came, and bo, meaning the imperative come, both of which are in the kal. And we find hevi, he brought in. So hevi, the hifyel is causative, so cause to come, the meaning of bring. And mevi, which is a hifyel participle. And huva, he was brought in, which is a hofal. And a hofal is the passive of a hifyel. Okay, turn over to the next page, and we get a table showing us the range of meanings for certain verbs. So we work our way across. So for the root shamar, meaning keep, in the kal, shamar means he kept or he guarded. The nifal, nishmar is simply passive, he was guarded. And then also has the sense of he took heed, which is really reflexive. He guarded himself to ensure that he did something. So he kept watch over himself to ensure that he did something, i.e. he took heed to do something or to watch. So he was guarded there, passive sense, he took heed, a reflexive. Okay, so you understand the reflexive. The reflexive can't be anywhere. It can be either the nifal or the hitpael. The hitpael will never be passive, but it is reflexive, and the nifal can be reflexive or passive. So it can mean that there's not much distinction at times between a nifal and a hitpael. And this actually then is occasionally there's debate for some words is when you have a nifal form, is it being used as a passive or as a reflexive? And that occasionally is actually in a bit of doubt. In the PL, shimer means he honored or he worshipped. PL is really to put something into a state. There's no hifil, shmar. And then we have the hitpael, which is hishtamer. So notice how the tav and the sheen have swapped places. And there that means he took heed, which is reflexive. And then can have the meaning of he observed. Next one is the verb malat. Malat, to escape. He escaped. It doesn't occur in the kal. It occurs in the nifal. Nimlat. Nimlat, with the meaning of he escaped, or he was set free. It occurs in the PL, Milat, Milat. Notice that Dagesh there in the Lamed, with the meaning he saved or he escaped. Occurs in the Hifil, Himlit, Himlit, he saved, he caused to escape. So normally the Hifil is causative. He caused to escape, i.e. caused somebody else to escape. And then the Hitpael, Hitmalet, Hitmalet, he escaped. And that can be used of sparks escaping from a fire. Sha'al, Sha'al, and the Kal, just means he asked. Nifal, Nish'al, Nish'al, he asked for himself. So that's reflexive. Shiel, Shiel, he begged. So that's a sort of an intensive form. That's one of the ranges that PL can have, intensive. And Hishiel, Hishiel, he lent, he granted. And one way of thinking that is somebody, he caused somebody to ask him, i.e. he has something, person A has something, and because he has something, that causes person B to ask him to borrow it. And so then person A lent it to him. The verb shalach in the kal, shalach, he sent. Nifal, nishlach, nishlach, he was sent, so that's a passive. PL, shilach, shilach, he sent away, he expelled. You can think of that as he put that person or thing into a state of being sent away. And then the hifil, hishliach, hishliach, with the furtive patach there, meaning he sent. Shavar, shavar in the kal means he broke. In the nifal, nishbar, nishbar, he was broken, so that's a passive. In the PL, shiber, shiber, he smashed. You can think of that in one of two ways, either as an intensive form of he broke, or that he put the pot or whatever it is into a state of being broken to pieces. And then the hifil, hishbir, hishbir, he caused something to break, to break out, to break forth. Gadal, gadal, he became great. Doesn't occur in the nifal, in the PL. Gidel, gidel, he made great. That is, he put somebody into a position of being great. That means you do that by praising somebody. Higdil, higdil, he made great, or he did great things. And the hitpael, hitgadel, hitgadel, he acted proudly. So he sort of reflexive idea. He made himself great. Kaved, kaved, in the kal, it was heavy. In the nifal, nikbad, nikbad, he was honored or wealthy. So kaved, the idea of being heavy, carries the idea of glory, of honor. Nikbad, he was, as it were, he was considered to be great. He was granted greatness by being honored. Piel, kibed, kibed, he honored, he made heavy. So that is, he put something else into a state of, or somebody else into a state of being honored. And hikbid, hikbid is a hifil. He made heavy, which can have the meaning of he oppressed somebody, made things heavy upon them. Shuv, shuv occurs in only two stems. In the kal, shav, he came back, he returned. And then in the hifil, Heshiv, heshiv, he brought back, he turned, so he caused something to come back, i.e. he brought it back. And finally, Rum, Rum, and the kal is Ram, he was high, Ram. In the PL, Romaim, Romaim, he raised or he exalted. Now, that's a little, might look a little strange. So room is what we call a hollow verb, where the middle letter, middle consonant, is vav or a yod. And those two are somewhat interchangeable. And so there's this class of verbs that we call hollow verbs. And typically, and whether it's a vav or a yod, it readily disappears. That's a weak letter. And very often, then, the second letter will then be doubled. So you end up with Ramam, with what we call here a reduplication of the mem. And that happens here in the PL form. And so we have Romaim, Romaim. And often we give that a different name, that stem, when it's like that. And we call that the Polel. Remember, we're working with our... So Pe and then Lama gets doubled. So we sometimes call that the Polel stem. But it's really basically the PL stem just applied to a verb where the second consonant is doubled. So that's why that looks like it does. Romaim, he raised, he exalted, that is, he put something into a state of being high. Hifil, he raised, he took away, that is, he causes something to be high. Now notice there that both the PL and the Hifil seem to have that same sort of meaning. And the nuance between them is the PL there, Romaim, the emphasis is on the state that the object ends up in. It ends up being in a state of being high. The emphasis of the Hifil is on what he is causing to happen. So he causes it to be high. So one is, we would say, stative, put something into a state of being something. The other is causative, he causes it to be. Now, it might not seem a whole lot of distinction, but it's whether your focus is upon the resulting state or upon the causation. And then a hit payel, hit romaim, and notice there too we have this duplication. And so sometimes this one will then get called the hit polel. And hit romaim, he exalted himself. So he put himself into a state of being high. Because it happens only in the PL, the Pu'al, and the... Well, you haven't yet learned the Pu'al. Because you can arrange these. These stems occur in three... He doesn't really cover this yet, but they occur in three sets. So Kal, if we put active, passive, and reflexive. We've got the Kal stem, and then the passive of that is the Nifal. PL, there's another one, the Pu'al, which is the passive of the PL. We haven't yet covered that. And then Hit Payel is reflexive. And then a Hifil is active, and its passive is Hofal. So we end up with, can think of that as being sort of a 3x3 box with two blank spaces. The reflexive of the Kal can also be the Nifal, can sometimes function that way. And then there really isn't any reflexive here. So there are these three families of stems. So the PL and its passive form, the Pu'al and the Hit Payel, are all sort of one family, and this duplication happens only in this family. So that's why it doesn't happen with the Hifil and the Hofal. And one of the characteristics of this is that there's a dagesh in the middle consonant. These ones here are causative, and then this is sort of the plain vanilla. Well, the range of these here, it can be intensive. The main focus is something is put into the state of being, so they're stative. Put something into the state. We'll cover that more in the next page or two. You're right. It doesn't. It occurs only in the Kal and the Hifil stems. Now, there are other forms, because in each of those stems, in the Kal, it's going to have both perfective and non-perfective, first, second, third person, singular and plural, and masculine and feminine. Yep, and then it will have an imperative form, and it will have participle forms in each of those stems, in both Kal and Hifil stems. Well, there are two ways of going about this. Either you learn the whole chart. That's what we have at the back, right? Lots of charts. So page 354, 355, you get what it is for the strong verb, where all three root letters are strong and nothing funny happens. You see there it gives you perfective and imperfective. And then on page 355, the continuing narrative form, the imperative, the jessive, the infinitives, and the participles. And then going across the page, we've got Kal, Nifal, Piel, Pual, Hifil, Hofal, and Hitpael. So you could learn that chart, just commit that to memory. Or you learn to recognize the distinguishing features. And you learn just to recognize what the prefix and a suffix, and then you basically work it out from that. Okay, so page 159. Here we get a little more sense of how these binyanim, these stems, are working. The kal binyan, its normal range, it can refer to an action. So, for example, sha'al, he asked, ba, he came, and asa, he did. Or it can refer to a state that something is in. Kaved, it was heavy. Katon, it was small. So that's two nuances of the kal stem. The nifal, it can have a range of meaning of being passive. So nishbar, it was broken. Nishlach, he was sent. It can be reflexive, in which case it really functions similar to a hitpael. And we have nishal, and he asked for himself. And nistar, he hid himself. And it can be reciprocal. So you can sort of think of reciprocal as being reflexive between two people that they're doing to each other. So, and the hitpael can also be used that way. So nilchamu, from the verb lacham, they fought each other. They fought amongst themselves. So that's the general sort of range of the nifal, passive, reflexive, or reciprocal. The pl, and this is probably the one that's the most difficult to pin down, can have an intensive form, so intensive meaning, acting strongly. Shiber, he smashed. Hilek, he went quickly. It can be factitive, or what we call sometimes stative. That is, put something, that something is in a state of being, whatever. So gidel, he made great, where the focus is not upon the causation, but upon putting something into that state of being great. Factitive. Mele, he made full. He put something into a state of being full. Words. It can have the form of urging others, which really is, so that's an intensive. So she'el is an intensive of sha'al. Sha'al, he asked. She'el, he really asked. He asked very intensely. That is, he begged. Limad, he taught. Then it can have the meaning of doing an action that is related to a noun. So davar is the noun word, and diber is the verb from that. He spoke. Notice the middle dagesh. Shoresh is root, and the verb shoresh, he uprooted. Shalosh is the word for three. And from that you form a verb, shilesh, he divided into three. So when a verb gets derived from a noun, it's often in the PL. The first thing is it's the dagesh and it's the vowel pattern. Hirek, tsere. Yeah. Because the dagesh, The middle dagesh can apply to the pl, the pual, and the hitpael. Or it can be declarative. Gedel, he praised. Tzedek, he declared to be righteous. The hifil is, its most common meaning is causative. So higdil, he made great. That is, he caused something to be great. Hevi, he brought in, or he brought back. It can refer to doing. Higdil, he did great things. It can refer to the state of being. Hizliach, he was successful. And it can refer to declaring something. So hizdik, hizdik, he acquitted. He declared somebody to be righteous. And then the hitpael, it can refer to doing to or for oneself. That is reflexive. That's its basic meaning. Hit gadel, he magnified himself. His tadek, he provided himself with food. His tayed, sorry. It can refer to doing together reciprocally. So this is similar to that reciprocal meaning of the nifal. Hit ra'u. Hit ra'u, they looked at each other. It can refer to doing something repetitively or continually. Hit halek. Hit halek, he went to or fro, he went continually, he led his life. So this gets used a few times significantly. So when the Lord tells Abram to walk through the land, when he comes from Mesopotamia and comes to Canaan, he says, walk through the land. He uses hit halek, walk back and forth through the land, give it a tour. When David is up on the balcony of his house and he sees Bathsheba bathing, he is up. Hit halek is a verb that's used, i.e. he's strolling back and forth on the roof of his house. And then the idea of walking with God uses the hit pael stem, this hit halek. So it's you're sort of walking back and forth in life. All of that is in the presence of God. So that's this iterative, this repetitive action. Walking with the Lord is hit halek, the hit pael of halak. Whereas if you just used halak on its own, it would just mean you're taking a journey, just going one way, you're going from point A to point B. Hit halek, you're going back and forth, whether it's back and forth through the land, back and forth on the balcony of your house, or back and forth in your walking in the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's what Enoch did, it's what Noah did. It's what Abram did. Yeah. Enoch's the first person that we have this described for. Yeah. That he walked with the Lord. Genesis 5 and then Genesis 6, verse 9. We're told that Noah walked with the Lord. And then the Lord tells Abram to walk with him. And then it can have, finally, the nuance of being, of acting or pretending. Hit nabe, he acted like a prophet. I.e., he wasn't really a true prophet, but pretended, acted like as if he were. Okay. The more, just as you start to read and you begin to be able to recognize and see these different forms in action, you'll get more comfortable with the way these stems function and the sorts of meanings they have. Page 160, there is given a dictionary exercise, and Dobson is still writing this based upon the fact that you use a hard copy dictionary. Times have now changed. The best way to do this is with software. The dictionary he refers to there, Langenscheid's Hebrew-English Dictionary, I don't have, and we don't have it in here. So I'm actually not really sure what that actually is. There are several dictionaries for Biblical Hebrew, or lexicons, probably one of the most helpful. This one here, Holliday's Concise Hebrew and Aramaic Lexicon of the Old Testament, which we have a copy of here in the library. And typically, if you look up in here or in one of the others and you look at a verb, it will then give you the meaning of that verb in the different stems. The classic one is the new Brown Drivers Briggs Gesenius Hebrew English Lexicon, usually referred to as BDB. from the authors of it, Brown, Drivers, and Briggs. And this has been around for a long, long, over 100 years. And I look up in here, and you'll probably find it very overwhelming to begin with and quite confusing to work your way through. But then in Bible software, if you've got Accordance or some other software running, typically you can double-click on a Hebrew word and it will open up a dictionary for you, depending on what you have installed on your system. And that will then give you sort of a range of meanings and show you what things mean in different stems. So rather than us working through all these words, well, you can, if you have Bible software and you want to have a go at this, you could try working your way through the list of 161, look some of them up. Probably what I'll do is sometime in the next week or two is I'll pick a verb and I'll show you how that gets treated in this and BDB, how it gets treated in this lexicon and in a couple of other resources, so you can get a little bit comfortable with how to look that stuff up. Okay. Now, one of the challenges is, how do you go about looking up the word? So this is the second paragraph there on page 160. To look up a Hebrew word, you need to notice its stem, any endings. So if you're going to look up hadvarim, you need to look up under the basic form of that word, which would be, in this case, that's a noun. You need to look up under devar, which is the masculine singular. That's the singular form of that noun. If you're looking up under nishmarti, I took heed, which is a first singular perfective in the nifal stem, you need to look up at shamar, which is the third masculine singular perfective in the kal stem, which is the plain vanilla form. So you notice there's no prefix, no suffix. It's just plain vanilla. And that's how entries are given in any lexicon or dictionary. And then draws our attention to the fact that there'll be abbreviations that are used. He gives common abbreviations there at the bottom of the page. So ABS referring absolute, so absolute as opposed to construct, and so on. Top of page 161, these are the words that he suggests you looked up. So, and then he gives you what the root form of the word is. So for hetil, which is a hifil, third masculine singular, hifil perfective, you would look up under tool. Now, how would you know what to look up there? Well, there's a hirak yod there, which you can remove, and a hey prefix. You might eventually recognize, well, that's part of a hifil, so we're left with a tav and a lamed, then sort of have a guess that maybe it's a hollow verb and there's a vav in the middle. Or use your Bible software, you just click on it, the word, and it will pop up the right word for you. Okay. Top of page 162. When looking at verbs, it's usually necessary to concentrate on the stem letters. So, for example, in, this is Jonah 3, verse 5, we have vaya'aminu. Vaya'aminu. How do you find the stem there? Well, you look for sort of all the things you can throw out. Prefixes and suffixes. So on the front end, we've got a va. So you might recognize, okay, that means that's just and. That's our conjunction. Can get rid of that. Then there's a yod prefix and an u suffix, which you may remember is third plural for a verb. So you throw that out. And then a hifil typically has a hirak yod. Notice between the after the mem. And you'll learn this when we get to the hifil, which will be in lesson 16, I think it is. And so you're then left down to, you really can't come up with any other reason as to why, you can't come up with any reason why you should throw the aleph out, the mem out, the nun out. So there you're down now to the root form. And that's what you would look up. If you had a hirak yod and you had a hey on the front, yes, you might recognize that's a hifil and you'd throw both of those out. And this, just with practice, you'll you'll begin to be able to get better and better at recognizing what the root word might be. The Hebrew Bible will have vowels. Do you know which Hebrew Bible it is? Oh, you don't have one yet, right? Yes, when you get the Hebrew Bible, it will have vowel pointing in it. It will also have all the accent marks in it. There are two forms of the Hebrew Bible. You can get the one that's used in the synagogues, in which all the numbers, the verse numbers and the chapter numbers, they use Hebrew letters, and that will be a little confusing. You'll find it rather difficult to find your way around. Or you get the standard Hebrew Bible that's used in the whole universities and seminaries and the academic community, which will be what I will suggest you get in due course. Right, there's now a reader's edition for it that will help you along. Next example of what to look up, in chapter 1, verse 12, we have Sa'uni. Sa'uni. Now there you might be able to recognize you can get rid of the ni, which is a first singular pronominal suffix. And then the u is generally there for plural forms of the verb. And that leaves you with a sin and aleph. And at that point you might be stuck because the first letter nun has disappeared. Fortunately, it's a common enough word that after a bit of time you'll be able to recognize that. And then he tells us for weak letters and stems, see pages 102 to 106, there are these weak letters that readily disappear. So on page 104, section number 2, when some verbs have prefixes, they seem to lose the first letter of the stem. So nun readily disappears, lamed often disappears, and yod disappears. Well, lamed it doesn't always disappear. It disappears only really for the imperative forms, like for lakah, whereas yod, vav, he, and nun disappear a lot more frequently in a lot more forms. So those are the four weak letters. Yod, vav, he, and nun. So yod, vav, and he, those are the three vowel letters as well. So that's one helpful way of thinking of those. And then nun. But nun, when it disappears, usually tends to leave a dagesh behind. So it leaves a little sign that it was once there. Lamed sometimes goes. Okay, and with that, are we ready for some reading? Jonah. Okay, before we did the first three verses of chapter 1 and the first three verses of chapter 3, the call of Jonah. And here now we pick up the story and we look at the rest of chapter 1 and the rest of chapter 3. So I don't know if any of you have had a chance to try working your way at all through this. No? Yeah, well, learning the order of the alphabet is a helpful thing to do to be able to know how to look around in a dictionary. Okay, well, let's... you can go around and each read a verse, and then I'll translate through the verse. So, Melody, chapter 1, verse 4. Va'adonai hetil ruach gadolah el hayam, va'yehi sa'ar gadol bayam, v'ha'oniyah hishba lehishaber. So, Va'adonai, but the Lord, and the Lord. Hetil, Dobson gives us some notes here. The Lord had hurled. He says this sets the scene for the story of the storm. Hetil is a hifil of tool. And this will be a word that gets used a number of times in Jonah. Well, significantly, the Lord hurled, or the Lord had hurled, a ruach gadolah. Ruach? Ruach can be spirit, or wind, or breath. Here, we can probably take it as being a wind. And gadolah? Big. Good. A big wind. In Jonah, everything is big. this adjective gadol gets attached to lots and lots of things. So here gadolah, because it's feminine singular, ruach is feminine singular. El hayam, yam. Good, into the sea. So now the Lord had hurled a great wind into the sea. Vayhi sa'ar gadol bayam. And there was a, now sa'ar is a tempest. And this is a sa'ar gadol, a big tempest. Bayam, in the sea. Vaha'oniya, and oniya, you wouldn't be expected to know this word. This is a ship. So it's a fairly rare word. And the ship, hishba lehishaber. Hishba is thought. It's something you think to yourself. You plot in your mind. You scheme or you devise in your brain. Chashav. Hishba. Notice the dagesh there in that middle letter. So, PL. And lehishaber. Do any of you recognize that? It's an infinitive with a lamed, yes. Uh-huh. We had shabar, it was one of the words that we had on page 158 in that table. Shabar, to break. And here it's a nifal. We'll learn about the nifal in the next lesson, lesson 14. In this case, there's a dagesh in the first consonant, the sheen. And the dagesh is there because it's a nun of nifal stem. A prefix nun has disappeared into that first letter. But you'll learn more about that in the next lesson. So it's a nifal, which means it's passive, to be broken up, to be broken. And it thought to be broken up. So this is an odd way of saying thing. Basically, he's saying the ship thought to itself that it's about to be broken up. Didn't break itself up. So the ship is personified. Pictured as the ship thinking to itself, I'm about to be broken up, or plotting to break itself up because of this great storm. Joyce, verse 5. Vayeru hamalachim. Vayizachu ish el Elohiv, vayatilu et hakelim asher ba'oniya el hayam, lehakel me alehem v'yona yarad el yarkate hasufina vayishkav vayerdam. Vayeru, this is from the verb yara, which is fear. They feared. And the subject is ha malachim, the sailors. And the sailors feared. Vayizaku, and they cried out. Za'ak is to cry out when you're in a difficult situation, so cry out for help. And they cried out, ish el Elohiv. Ish is man. It can also mean each. So each, El Elohiv, to his God. Vayatilu. So the second word of verse 4, we add hetil. Yatilu, we've got those same two consonants, tet and lamed. Middle consonant would be a vav, a hollow verb. So it's another form of that word. They hurled. Et hakelim. That's the objects that they hurled. Kelim is vessels or things, or here would be really the cargo. Asher ba'oniya, which is on the ship. El hayam, into the sea. Lehakel, so that gives us the purpose. Lamed, two. So hakel is going to be an infinitive. Hey on the front tells us it'll be a hifil infinitive, and that leaves us kol lamed. You have a guess as to what that might be? So we just, what? Remember, we have the kal stem. Why is the kal stem called the kal stem? What does kal mean? Light. Mm-hmm. light. So here it's to make something light, to make light, me alehem, from upon them. So me alehem, it's min plus al plus hem. So they hurled the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it, to make it light upon that, from upon them, i.e. to lighten their load. And then we get our athnak there under me alehem, so that's our pause halfway through the verse. Vayona yarad, but Jonah yarad, go down. But Jonah, and this is a perfective, so he had gone down, but Jonah had gone down. El yarkate hasafina. Yarkate, yarkatim, this would be a fairly rare word, refers to the sort of the innermost angle of the hold of the ship. It's where the two sides of the ship come together, right down in the keel. And Safina is another word for ship. So, but Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship, and really it's into the deepest recess of the hold of the ship. Vayishkav, and he lay down. Vayerdam, Yeradam, and he slept. But this isn't the word just for normal word for sleep. This is to be in a deep sleep. Sort of sleep that God put Adam into when he took the rib, for it's a sleep that he put Abram into in Genesis 17 when he made a covenant with him. It's a sleep that Saul was in when David came into the camp and took his spear and pitcher. So this is a funny situation. Got all these sailors all crying out each to their gods and throwing all the cargo overboard. Meanwhile, Jonah's gone down into the bottom of the hold and fallen into a deep sleep. And this is the third time that we've had the verb yarad in the book. So he went down, God says go to Nineveh, but instead he went down to Joppa. And then he went down into the ship. And so now he's gone down into the deepest point of the ship. So as far down in the ship as he can possibly go. All of which is him getting away from God. Right, because the verb will get used one more time. And also you can think of the River Jordan is the Yarden, because at Yarad it goes down, it flows down, and it goes down from Mount Hermon all the way down to the Dead Sea. So that also might be a way for you to think of Yarad from the River Yarden. Okay, John, you ready for verse 6? Vayikrav Eliv, Rav Hachovel, Vayomer Lo, Malcha Nirdam, Kum Kara El Elohecha, Ulai Yitashet Ha Elohim Lanu, Velo Noved. Vayikrav, now we have a continuing narrative form of the verb, and the subject is Rav Hachovel. Rav is from the word to be great. The Rav is sort of the great one, the chief. It's what we get rabbi from. Rabbi is sort of literally my Rav, my great one, my master. So a Rav HaHovel, he's the Rav over the of the Hovel, which is the another word for the sailors. So he's the chief over the sailors. So he's the captain of the ship. And karav is to draw near, to come close to. So the chief of the sailor over the sailors approached him, Vayomer lo, and said to him, Ma lecha. So ma is what? Lecha, what to you? This is really the Hebrew equivalent of what's up. Malacha, what for you? And then he calls him Nirdam. And at the end of the previous verb, we had Vayeradam, and he fell into a deep sleep. Nirdam is a participle, and it's a nifal participle. That's the ni on the front of that. So he's saying, you deep sleeper. What's up with you? You deep sleeper. Pause. we'll get our athak. Kum, kum, arise. Yep, here as an imperative. Arise, kara. No, we've had kara. Call out, proclaim, cry out, call. Of course, this is what God had told him to do to Nineveh. He said, go out and call to Nineveh. And he doesn't. So he says, kara el Elohecha. Call out to your God, to your God or your gods, which is, of course, what all the other sailors are doing. Ulai is perhaps Yit Ashet Ha Elohim, perhaps the God Yit Ashet. So notice that Yit prefix, this is a Hit Pael, and it really sort of means like will notice, will pay attention, Lanu to us, the Lo Noved. Avad is to destroy. Here, Noved is a Nifal of that. Be destroyed in the sense of, it's a strong term for to die, to perish. So perhaps God, the God, or gods will pay attention to us so that we not die, so that we not perish. How do you know it's a Hit Pael? It doesn't have a Hit prefix, it's a Yit prefix, because, and we'll learn more about this in lesson 17, there's a dagesh in the middle consonant, the sheen, and we've seen a yod prefix for third person, singular and plural. This is a third person singular, so the hit changes to a yit. If it's first person plural, it would be nit, and so on. We'll learn more about that in lesson 17. Hey, verse 7, Sean. Vayomaru ish el re'ehu l'hu v'napila goralot v'neda b'shelami hara'a hazot lanu v'yapilu goralot v'yipol hagoral al yonah. Vayomaru ish el re'ehu, then they said, each to his re'ehu, his neighbor. So re'a is friend or associate or neighbor. So here would be the sense of the person next to him. Each, say, all the sailors are talking to one another. L'hu, come, from halach. Come or go, come here, just as a come, let's do something. And nafila, nafal is to fall. This is a hifil. There's a hirik yod there. When we learn the hifil in a 3 weeks' time, three lessons' time, you'll learn that's a distinctive feature of the hifil. Nafal is to fall. The hifil of it is to cause to fall, i.e. to throw. Come, let us throw. Nafila is a cohortative. The a ending, come, the he ending is a cohortative he. Let us do something. So it's sort of a command you give to yourself. Let us, and we usually translate let us. Let us throw. Goralot is lots. Let us throw lots. Veneda is from yada, to know. So here with a nun prefix for first plural, and we will know, b'shelami. That's made up of the b, is in or, in this case, on account of. She is a short form of asher, the relative pronoun. L'mi, to whom. So in that b'shelami, there's actually four words all jammed into that. So you'd have to translate it into English as on account of whom, or yeah, on account of whom. So b, and then she is the relative pronoun, l is to, me is who. Great illustration of how Hebrew can be so compact. Ha ra'a, ra'a is evil or calamity. Zot hazot, so ha ra'a hazot, this evil. Lanu, to us. So come, let us throw lots, so that we will know on account of whom this evil is upon us, has come to us. Vayapilu, so that's a continuing narrative form. Then they threw lots. Vayapol hagoral, and the lot fell. So that's now three times we've had in that verse to throw lot. And the lot fell al Yonah upon Jonah. The b'shelami. Right, the me, yes. So it's the b is sort of the on account of. So shell is, the relative pronouns, the full form is asher, but then another form of the relative pronoun is either sh on its own or shell. So sheen lamed. Here actually it's be sheen lamed. Notice the lamed has a dagesh in it, so there's actually two lameds there. So there's actually shell and then l, me. So you can think of it as whomsoever. Really, in English, we sort of wouldn't really translate it. Because we could then say, on account of whom, although you could probably say, on account of whomsoever this evil has come to us. With that, the soever there, you could think of that as being a... Okay, verse 8. Vayomru eliv, Haggidah na lanu, Ba'asher lemi hara'ah hazot lanu, ma melaktaka, u me'ayin tavo, ma artzecha, ve'e meze am ata. Vayomru elaif, then they said to him, Haggidah na lanu. Haggidah is from Nagad, to tell. Tell, so it's got a hey at the end of that. It would just be Haggid is the imperative. And then remember, you can put a hey on the end of an imperative to make it stronger. Back when we learned imperatives. And then the na, remember that na? Pleased, also when we looked at imperatives. So what we call a particle of entreaty. Please tell us. That's the lanu, tell to us. Ba'asher lemi hara'ah hazot. So notice we've got here a sort of similar expression, except now we get the full relative pronoun. So ba'asher, on account of whom, or account of to whom this evil is upon us, or this evil has happened to us. So there's no verb in there, but you don't really need the verb to be. It's understood. Pause. Ma malaktaka. Malak is work. So what is your work, by your occupation? What is your work, your occupation? U me ayin. Ayin is where, and from where, tavo, have you come? Ma artseka. Artseka, your eretz, your land. What is your land, or your country? Ve'e mze am ata. And from where is your people? A is where. Mze is from this. Where from this your people. So we would have to render that in English or something. And from where are your people? Where do your people come from? Okay, verse 9. Joyce. Vayomer alehem ivri anohi ve'et Adonai Elohe hashamayim ani yare asher asa et hayam ve'et yabasha. Vayomer alehem, then he said to them, Ivri anohi. Ivri is a Hebrew, Hebrew, anochi, I. So you don't need a verb there, but we would then in English. It's a Hebrew that I am. Ve'et Adonai, and it is the Lord. So notice we're getting here the direct object is put first for emphasis. It is the Lord. Elohe Hashemayim. Elohe Hashemayim. God of heaven. Hashemayim, the heavens or the skies. God of heaven. Ani Yare. So Ani, I. And Yare is to fear. And it is the Lord, the God of heaven, that I fear. And again, he put the Lord as the first word for emphasis. Asher asa et hayam v'et ha... So Asher asa et hayam. So asa, it did or it can be make, to do or to make. Et hayam. Who made the sea. The et hayabasha, and yabasha is the dry land. So he said to them, a Hebrew I am, it's a Hebrew that I am, and it's the Lord, the God of heaven, whom I fear, who made the sea and the dry land. That relative pronoun, asher, refers back to the Elohe Hashemayim. Yeah, he's saying, yeah, the God I worship, he isn't just any sort of local God of you or the other. This, the God who I worship is the one who made all of this, who made the sea and the dry land, and he's got control of the storm and everything. Of course, Jonah's actions haven't really...
It's
a bit of irony here because he's been running away from this God. Okay, verse 10, John. Vayiru ha'anashim yira gudola vayomaru elive Ma zot asita, ki yadu ha'anashim, ki milifnei Adonai hu boreach, ki hegid lahem. Vayiru, so we had that at the beginning of verse 5, Vayiru, then they feared, they were afraid. And the subject is Ha'anashim. Then the men were afraid. Yira gudola, a great fear. So at the beginning of verse 5, the sailors were afraid. Now their fear has intensified. And they feared a fear. And it's not simply they feared a fear. They feared a big fear. So it's really intensified. And it's intensified in response to Jonah saying, the God who I worship made the sea and the dry land. And fear then also has a sense of reverence because Jonah says that he fears the Lord. Well, his actions show that he doesn't really fear the Lord. And now the sailors, though, do fear the Lord. So they feared a great fear and they, Vayomaru alive, and they said to him, Ma zot asita. Yes, what is this you have done? What is this you have done? Ki yadu, because they knew, or the men knew, Anashim, ki that milifne Adonai, from the presence of the Lord, who boreach, he was fleeing. Boreach is a participle of barakim. In the first, back at the beginning of the chapter, when the Lord says, go to Nineveh and flee, then we read, then Jonah got up and he fled. He fled from the Lord. We had barach twice, this verb, to flee. And he fled. Ki higid lahem, because he had told them. At some point, and the narrator has withheld that information from us until now. Because they knew. So yadat here, they knew. Or rather, the men knew. Ha'anashim is the subject. Because the men knew. Ki milifnei Adonai, that it was from the presence of the Lord, who Berea, he was fleeing. And how did they know that? because he had told them, Ki higid lahem. Higid is a hifil of nagad. Okay, so we're out of time. So we'll stop there. Next week we'll pick up at verse 11. Should be able to get through the end of the reading, and then we'll launch in on lesson 14 and learn about the Niphal.